The Lord's Prayer is a familiar one to Christians all over the world. Its words appear in the Gospels of Matthew and Luke and have been repeated for centuries. For those who have the prayer memorized, it can provide words to pray even in the most uncertain of moments, when words themselves seem impossible to grasp. I went to a Christian high school, and in that context, the Lord's Prayer quickly became a routine. I said the words alongside my classmates 6 times a day, 5 days a week. It was a friendly pause before an exam, a moment to breathe. Since I've been away at college, I've let the prayer rest a little bit. But coming back to it this week, it was a friendly reminder of the value of tradition and routine and habits, practicing, as Linda said. So where have you heard this prayer before? Where has it appeared in your life? Let's pray the words together as they appear on the bulletin insert. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Our scripture reading today will come from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 11, verses 1 through 13. One day Jesus was praying in a certain place. When he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone who sins against us. And lead us not into temptation.'" Then Jesus said to them, "Suppose you have a friend, and you go to him at midnight and say, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him.' And suppose the one inside answers, 'Don't bother me. The door is already locked, and my children and I are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything.' I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, those who seek find, and to those who knock, the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?"
Well, as Janae has mentioned, this is the last Sunday of our summer worship series, a summer where we have encountered a lot of different individuals in first century Palestine who were reaching out to Jesus and whose stories are recorded in the Gospel of Luke. And in the midst of these stories, we've been invited to consider our own journeys of faith, times in our lives when we might seek out Jesus to heal us or to care for us or to mend us or to save us from ourselves or to Help with our brokenness, our fears, our grief, our tears. These stories and messages have been rich and challenging ones for me, I know, and I hope for some of you as well. If you've been gone some of these summer Sundays and missed some of these, I would encourage you to make use of the CDs, which are in the back, if you missed some of them, or to find them on the website and listen to the podcast. Perhaps there's one that would be helpful to you as well. Well, this morning's scripture, as already been noted, is about the Lord's Prayer. And it's not another story of an individual who is coming to Jesus. Instead, it's a whole group of people. It's the disciples are coming, and they want to learn how to pray. They have been on the move with Jesus during these last weeks, months, perhaps years. As they've traveled, they have watched him, they have listened to him, they have observed his interactions with a whole wide variety of people. Sinners, sick, demon-possessed folks, grieving family members, Roman soldiers, religious leaders of the day, and they have seen incredible things. They've become his followers, called to walk in his footsteps, and they want to learn how to pray. Teach us how to pray, they ask. And Jesus' response is to offer them some very specific instruction, words to take with them, and to take them beyond themselves into relationship with God. And then to follow up the how-to instructions, Jesus offers them a very interesting parable. And this parable is the parable of a man who goes out in the middle of the night to knock persistently on the door of a friend with the hope of getting some bread. Not just one loaf, but three loaves of bread. So this morning we'll put ourselves in the place of Jesus' disciples because we too want to learn how to pray, true? This morning we'll listen in on Jesus' instructions on prayer and to a parable of a man who persistently knocks on the door of a friend in search of three loaves of bread. Now you can find the scripture at the bottom of page 958 in the Bible in front of you, chapter 11. And it begins, "One day Jesus was praying in a certain place. And the disciples had been watching him, and one of them asked if he would teach them how to pray." Now, I'd be interested in hearing from you, why do you suppose they might have been interested in hearing how Jesus prays? Thoughts about that? Why? What's that? They thought they were doing it wrong. They needed some help. Maybe nothing was happening. When they prayed, nothing happened. Other thoughts about why the disciples would want to learn how to pray. They thought well of Jesus, and they had seen him praying. They had observed that, and he spent a lot of time at it. They knew that Jesus' Father heard his prayers, and they wondered, maybe God would hear my prayers too, if I just learned a little bit more how. Other thoughts?
They observed Jesus' power, and they thought, maybe it comes through prayer.
They observed Jesus' power. They saw all the incredible things, not only that he did, but that he said. You know, he had all these pressures coming on him in the world, and all these religious leaders and their scholarly ways, their brilliant minds. How did he come up with all this stuff on the spur of the moment? So maybe they thought if they learned how to pray, maybe Jesus was telling them that they could have that power too. Good. Anything else? Any other reasons that you think of? Tim? Okay, right. They had seen this in other prophets and teachers taught their disciples how to pray. Why isn't Jesus teaching us? Maybe we have to ask. Maybe. Good. Any
Anything else? Yeah. Interesting to think about that. Maybe we have to ask. Maybe we have to ask. Maybe we have to ask. Jesus had told him about the importance of prayer too, didn't he? When they couldn't cast out the demons, Jesus told them the importance of prayer. I suspect they may have picked up on the importance of prayer from Jesus. The relationship to God, staying focused on God's purpose for his life, how important it was for Jesus every day, for his strength, for his life, his ministry, to withstand the pressures. It sounds like an important practice for Jesus, and the disciples wanted that too. So they asked Jesus to teach them how to pray. Now it's interesting, isn't it? At other times when the disciples or other people asked Jesus questions, oftentimes he did not respond with a direct answer. More often when Jesus was asked a question by the disciples or other people, what did he do? He responded with a question, didn't he? Or maybe he told them a parable that they had a really hard time understanding, would stand there scratching their heads trying to understand what he was saying. But this time, when the disciples asked Jesus a question, he gave them a pretty direct response and said, "Here is how you pray." Now, if you've learned the Lord's Prayer at some time in your life, you might have noticed that the passage that was read by Josh this morning didn't sound quite right. That's because there's a longer version of this prayer in Matthew, and it may sound a little bit more like the version that you're familiar with. In fact, the Lord's Prayer is memorized and recited, as Janae mentioned, recited by Christians around the world with slight variations of certain words. Last fall, when Janice and I were in Israel, Palestine, we went to the Church of the Our Father. I think Brandon's going to show us some pictures. And there's a lot of traditions that you're not quite sure when you go to these biblical sites, but the tradition is that there's a place with some rocks outside of Jerusalem where Jesus often taught the disciples. And this particular cave, as you go down in to see it, about the 12th century, they started saying that this is where Jesus taught the disciples the Lord's Prayer. Well, as is also the tradition in modern times, when there's a sacred place or a holy place, or a memorial of some kind that we want to highlight for people, we build things around it. And so this is the Church of the Our Father that has been built around, and you really have to look for the little cave because there's so much other stuff around there. And one of the things that they have done that I think is really pretty neat is that they have taken mosaics, next slide, and put mosaics around this whole Church of the Our Father. This is the English version. And if Brandon goes to the next slide, we can see that there are lots of different languages in mosaic of the Our Father, the prayer. This one's on the right-hand side is Korean, I believe. If you go to the next slide, some of them are inside of the chapel. And you go to the next slide. Some of them are in a hallway. And then if you go to the next slide, you can see that some of them are out in the garden. And there are over 140 different languages of the Lord's Prayer. And if you go to the website of this particular church, it says that there are 1,187 languages that you can find the Lord's Prayer. So if you're ever struggling to find the Lord's Prayer in a different language, use the internet, you can find it. So Jesus taught them how to pray, offering them a succinct framework, a pattern for their beginning relationship with God. Now, Thomas Aquinas says that we are created for no greater purpose than friendship with God. We are created for no greater purpose than friendship with God. And I think one of the purposes that Jesus was trying to teach this practice to his disciples was so that they could enter into friendship with God. Let's take a look at a few of the other features of the prayer that Jesus taught. Like many other things in Scripture, there have been books written on this prayer, and so we're not going to cover all of that this morning. And we, in fact, have done some sermon series on this prayer before, so we're just going to be touching on the big picture. But the prayer is written in the possessive plural. Note at the bottom of the page in the footnotes, it says, some manuscripts say, "Our Father in heaven." And this is the way that it is printed in the Matthew version. It does not start with, "My Father." It's plural, "Our Father." And then the whole prayer continues in that plural. Give us, forgive us, lead us. It's for a gathered group of people to say together. A gathered group of people to connect with God and to live into God's purposes. A body of believers on a journey. Not just you and me, God. Not a private prayer. This is a prayer for people who are gathered together to be spoken in community with our friends. Perhaps we need to hear each other pray these words, to call one another, to remind each other of the vision for the world that is bigger than our own needs, to be called on for personal and corporate accountability. We need sisters and brothers to help us pray this prayer in order to lift one another up. So whether it be here on Sunday mornings or in small groups or in Sunday school classes or other fellowship gatherings, we need to remind each other of this prayer to help us with our collective calling and direction. There's a story of a minister who went to the nursing home, and she had her sermon, a rousing sermon, prepared, and she gave that sermon. And then she even led the gathered congregation of elderly there at the nursing home in singing. And the response was very small. But then she got to the end of the service and she invited the congregation to pray the Lord's Prayer together. And immediately she experienced congregation, community, people who gathered together to recite the prayer. Now, I don't know, maybe you didn't grow up with this prayer, or you have never been invited to memorize or to learn it, but that's one of the reasons that I wanted to provide these cards for us this morning. My invitation to you, if you do not know this prayer or have never had the opportunity to learn it or taken advantage of that opportunity to learn it, to invite you to put it somewhere on the refrigerator, on the mirror, or something this week so that the next time in worship you will be able to actively participate with us in this prayer together, even if you don't have it in front of you. I think it was about third grade when in Sunday school I was, again, it was a prize for something that I must have done or memorized or something or other. I was given the Lord's Prayer in a puzzle, and each word was a separate puzzle piece. And so I would play with that puzzle and put the words of the puzzle together. That's how I learned the Lord's Prayer. Another focus of this prayer is on God's coming kingdom. God's will, God's vision, God's mission, God's purposes, God's dream for the world, if you will. In Matthew, it is your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Jesus is calling his disciples to orient their daily life to God's mission, to God's purposes, to God's vision or dream for the world beyond their own wants and desires. And this is core to the prayer. It's actually essential for all our prayers. We need to be honest with God and to state our needs and our wants and what we believe to be our needs and our wants, but to always be aware that it is not my will but yours, God, that we live with. Help us to see what you are doing in the world, God, and to be a part of it. Another part of the prayer is, give us each day our daily bread. Now, for a group that has been told to go out two by two into the world with no bags, no staff, no bread, no money, no extra shirt, as it does in Luke chapter 9, praying for daily bread might seem pretty important. When we talk about the parable, we'll see this might have had another meaning too. Forgiveness is central to this prayer. Jesus teaches his disciples forgiveness of our sins and forgiveness of those who sin against us. And temptations, too, are running rampant in the world, apparently always have been and always will be, and so we want God's help to steer clear of these, to keep us away from the evil one. Then there's this parable. Then there's this parable that follows the passage, and I wonder together if we can take a look at that for a few minutes. Why might it be placed here after these instructions on how to pray? The parable goes like this. Suppose you've got a friend who's on a journey, a traveler on the road, and this friend shows up at your house late in the night and you don't have anything to feed him. Well, it's the middle of the night, but you know a friend you can go to help you out. And so you go to that friend and you knock on the door and you ask for 3 loaves of bread. And he says, no. But you know that this friend has the bread and he is a good friend, and because of your deep friendship, you believe he will give you the bread. And so you keep on knocking. And Jesus tells this to the disciples just after he's taught them how to pray. Is he telling them they need to be persistent? And then they will get what they want? If we just keep bugging God long enough, will God give in? Ask and seek and find, and the door will be opened, right? And then he follows it up by asking the disciples if they really believe there would be a loving father who, upon asking for food, would give their son or daughter something horrible. Now, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? Now, isn't that an interesting parable and an analogy after these instructions on prayer? I find it very interesting that this parable of a traveling friend on a journey who needs bread, and a friend who is visited by a friend who now needs bread, and he goes in the middle of the night to ask another friend for bread. I find it interesting that this friend asks for 3 loaves of bread rather than just one. Anything else in Scripture come in threes? Maybe a reference to God, the Son, the Holy Spirit, the Trinity, all in one? Maybe, maybe not. Maybe the reference in the prayer Jesus taught the disciples was not only a prayer for daily food, for bread, but also give us the nourishment daily that we need of God, the Son, and the Holy Spirit for our journey. Think about that when you pray the Lord's Prayer. I also find it interesting that this parable never says that you will get what you asked for. It never says that you will get what you asked for. The parable is sometimes interpreted that if we just pray persistently enough for what we want, what we think we need, then God will surely answer our prayers. God will give us what we want. What it actually says is that we will receive as much as we need. It doesn't say we will get what we pray for. It says the door will be opened to those who seek and knock. In fact, maybe that door that will be open to learn something or receive something much different than what we had prayed for. It also says fathers will not treat the children with evil, but will give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him. All this following on the heels of a prayer that invites us to pray for God's kingdom, God's purposes, God's dream for the world to come over our wants and needs. I think this parable does invite us to persistent and regular relationship with God. We need to learn that five-finger practice prayer. As much as we are humanly able to be in friendship with God, to be in communication with God, to be direct and persistent in asking for what we think we need, and we can be honest about what we think we need for ourselves, but I think this parable, this scripture reminds us that even in our most persistent prayers, we want to be open to being surprised by what we receive. To live with passion and with authenticity on a journey with God and the Holy Spirit is to be open to see and hear what God is doing in the world, to trust in an all-knowing, loving God, but to be ready to receive good gifts that may be different from our own expectations or wants. We ask God each day, like Jesus did, to help us center our lives and ministry on God's purposes as we encounter people on the sidewalks and roads that we walk and drive. As we encounter the regular and too often relentless needs of the world, we ask God each day to give us the bread that we need, not only for food, sustenance to eat, but sustenance in the forms of the gifts of the Holy Spirit: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, in order that we might be transformed by the Spirit, empowered by the Spirit, and even more to be able to practice what Jesus taught and to live what God dreams for our world. Finally, before we conclude, I want to go back to the prayer and emphasize the communal nature of this prayer. I believe this is incredibly important for the Christian community to remember in times like these. In these times of individualism, of anti-institutionalism, of personal choice often being king, of different pulls to join like-minded, peer, or like activity-oriented groups, I invite us not to be lured to believe that it might be easier or better over the long term to try to be in relationship with God or to follow Christ on your own without a community. It's so tempting to believe that I can hear God better in the woods by myself than I can in the sanctuary. And I do believe God is in the woods and I can hear him there. But it's tempting to stay in the woods by yourself. It's so tempting to believe that what I really need every Sunday morning is a cup of coffee and a good book and skip the people contact. It's tempting to believe that worship would be easier with people who think and look more like me. It's tempting to think that if I come on a given Sunday and I don't hear anything that is meaningful to me or my energy level is not roused, then I probably don't need to go back next week. But Jesus would say, and my experience in congregational life would say, that when it comes to learning and growing in Christ, whether it is when I have been single, married without children, raising a family, or now with grown children away from home, being in a congregation on a regular basis in a faith community of some type is the most important place to receive wisdom, counsel, life balance, direction. It's a great place to find mentors, role models, people I want to be like in order to learn how to serve God and follow Christ and negotiate the world. It's also a wonderful place to offer and test one's gifts and to receive encouragement and support. And it too is a great place to learn how to pray. It's so tempting in our times to look at the gathered faith community as optional, as an add-on, something you do if you have time in the whole of life. But Jesus saw the gathered community in prayer as the core to bending our lives away from our natural inclinations and instead towards God's directions. Through teaching us to pray, Jesus sought to help us to know some of the power and strength and authority that he had as he traveled in the world, and he invited us in the midst of our journeys to join in that adventure, which is the greatest drama of God's redemptive activity in the world, that of forgiveness, of grace, of love, and a coming kingdom of God. May God be with us as we seek together in community to pray regularly and persistently to our God in heaven, to seek God's kingdom on earth as it is in heaven, to ask directly for what we need to live and follow, and to ask for forgiveness even as we seek to forgive others. To God be the glory and the power forever. Amen.